Please take your Bible this morning and open to the book of Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 1. Psalm number 1. In this psalm, that's just six verses long, we have a comparison that the Lord makes between those who are righteous and those who are unrighteous. There's a comparison here between the saint and the sinner, you might say it that way, or the godly and the ungodly, or the saved and the lost. Many ways of describing this, but the comparison basically is between those who know the Lord and His Word and love the Lord and His Word, and then those who don't. All right? And this comparison is quite clear, especially you'll see as we read through it here in just a minute, that basically it's telling us that the best and most rewarding side to be on is the side of those who know the Lord as their Savior and love Him and love His Word. So let's read through it together. In fact, you just follow along if you would as I read it. We're going to concentrate this morning on verse 3, the actual message itself. We're going to concentrate on verse 3, but notice the comparison here in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, you've probably caught this before as you've read through it, but did you notice that this man that's being talked about starts out walking, then moves to standing, and then moves to sitting? It's a downward progression. Walking and then standing and then sitting. And it's, of course, walking in the counsel of the ungodly and standing in the way of sinners and sitting in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So you notice this man who's blessed doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So he loves the Lord, loves God's word. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Then verse 3 says this, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We're going to come back to that because that's where the message is going to focus today, on verse 3. But notice the comparison now, verse 4. The ungodly, this would be folks who don't know the Lord as their Savior. They don't love God. They don't love God's Word. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. By the way, can you tell it's not going to go well for the ungodly? It's not going to go well for them. On the other hand, of course, those who know the Lord as their Savior, who love Him and who love His Word, there are many, many wonderful things that are going to happen for them. One of the things that the Bible describes here the ungodly as, and I will pray in just a moment, he compares them in verse 4 to chaff. Chaff has really no meat to it, no substance to it. It has no roots. Chaff has no life. Chaff has really no value. Chaff really doesn't have any future. If you've ever worked on a farm, you might remember working hard, let's say, in a hay field, and maybe you're harvesting hay, and depending, you know, especially if you had to work on the wagon. Now, you know, sometimes when I remember working with my dad on this, sometimes I'd get to drive the tractor. That's a whole easier task than working the wagon, you know. But you'd have a tractor and then the baler and then the wagon. And on the wagon, of course, as the bales came off, you had to stack them on the wagon. On the tractor, it's a whole lot easier. You just get to ride. You know, but anyway, then after the wagon is full, then you take the wagon to this, we did, take it to the barn and back it up to the barn or pull it into the barn. and then unload the hay and stack that in the loft, in the barn. So a lot of hard work. But the point I'm making is that when you get all done for the day and you look at your clothes, you know, they're all covered with different, you know, pieces of hay and leaves and so forth like that. And if you, and I remember this, especially at that time in history, you know, it was popular to roll up the cuffs of your blue jeans. I don't know if they still do that much anymore, but some do, I guess. But inside the cuffs then, there was all kinds of that, right? And inside your shirt was some. And fact is, normally you'd want to take a shower because it was all over, it was in your hair and everything. That part of it is the chaff. That part of it is that which is really no substance, no roots, no life, no value, no future. God says that is what the ungodly are like. There's really not much of any value to them. By the way, I would say this too about the chaff. It burns up just like that. It's consumed by the fire very, very quickly. So anyway, we're not going to talk about the chaff this morning. We're going to focus in on verse number 3. So how about I pray, and then we'll get started on the outline tonight, today. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that we have to be together. And thank you for this wonderful chapter in the book of Psalms, and in particular verse 3, which we're going to focus on this morning. Because we're not dealing this morning with the ungodly, we're dealing with the godly. We're dealing with those who know you as Lord and Savior, who love you, who love your word. And some of the things that you say about us in this verse are really encouraging. I thank you for it. I pray that you'll bless today the message, please, to the hearts and lives of your children, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title this morning is very simply this: He shall be like a tree. Comes right out of our text. Verse number 3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." I want you to notice, first of all, that this is speaking about a tree, but this tree is a fixed thing. This tree is a fixed thing. You notice the Bible says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." So this tree is a fixed thing. It's planted. Can you agree with me on this next statement? Trees don't plant themselves. Nope, trees don't plant themselves. Now, I understand that a lot of times there's, you know, leaves that get blown around and seeds that get blown around and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes something will sprout and all that kind of thing. But even in that, it doesn't plant itself. You know, there's lots of other forces at work on it. And trees don't normally plant themselves. Usually, most times, 99% of the time, they're planted by someone else. Some other person. Now, when we come to the Christian, of course, who do you think it is that plants us? Well, that's God, isn't it? God is the one who plants us. He's the one who plants the Christian. And this planting that I'm referring to happens because of salvation and because of our relationship with Him. Salvation and a relationship with the Lord doesn't happen because of church membership or baptism or good works or turning over a new leaf or giving money. Salvation, or this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, comes about because you had at one time or another turned away from your sin, turned to the Lord. It's called in the Bible this way: repentance and faith. Repentance is turning away from your sin. Faith is turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have begun this relationship with God. And this relationship with God, hopefully, because it is planted, will grow deeper and deeper and deeper and more fixed. All right? Trees, I think you realize this, have roots. And the longer those trees are in the ground, the longer those roots go. And the deeper those roots go. Those roots, of course, will provide for the tree sustenance. It is normally through the roots that the water comes up and the minerals come up that the tree needs to survive. So sustenance. The roots also provide security for that tree. Makes it secure in the ground, you know. It provides stability, the roots do. Those tree roots that run so deep make the tree very stable and very secure and provide sustenance for it. We are blessed here on this piece of property, by the way, to have the trees that we have. Now, some of you have been in the church for a long, long time. You no doubt remember when the trees were much smaller and younger, but I've just been here 16 years now, and I can tell you this, and I mean this sincerely from my heart, I'm very happy that we have all these large trees on the property. We're blessed. We came from an area, Plainview, Texas, is just like its name, Plainview. Everything there is very flat. And the old timers who lived in that city for a long, long time tell me or told me when I lived there that most every tree that's in the city of Plainview was brought here from somewhere else and planted. Now, they have some beautiful trees, but nothing like the trees we have on our property here. And those trees, again, were brought from somewhere else and planted. See? Do you realize, I don't know you do, but when people are manicuring their property and addressing the needs of the property and so forth, do you realize that people spend a lot of money on trees and bushes? And a lot of time and effort on trees and bushes? It adds a lot of beauty, doesn't it, to a piece of property. Otherwise, it's, of course, just plain and flat, like I was referring to this. Did you ever notice this too, about a tree? When a car collides with a tree, which one wins? The tree always wins, right? And it's because of that root system that's so deep and so vast and wide and so forth. Most often, I would say 99.9% of the time, when a car collides with a tree, the car loses. The tree wins. You might pull the car away, and I'm not trying to make light of this in any way, because I know serious people get hurt seriously when they hit a tree, but when you pull the car away, you might see a dent in the tree, right? I mean, you might see a little bit of a scar on the tree, but the tree is still standing, and the car is all mangled. That strong, deep root system keeps that tree standing even when strong outside forces push against it. Now, what is God trying to tell us as a believer with this thought? It should be this way for us as believers, by the way, because note this, as a Christian, strong outside forces will push against you from time to time. And if you are like the tree, a fixed thing with roots that run deep, even though there are outside strong pressures pushing against you as a Christian, they will not knock you over and they will not destroy you because you're firmly anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says here about the believer, this godly man, he shall be like a tree, a fixed thing. Number two, this tree is not only a fixed thing, it's also a growing thing. A growing thing. Notice, please, the Bible says here in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You remember, the Lord is the one who planted this tree. And where does he choose to plant it? Well, right next to the river of water, right? Is there a reason for that? Well, I'm sure there is, right? It's so the tree can draw that life-giving water into itself and aid the tree to bring up not only the water, but the necessary nutrients needed by the tree. Listen, God knows the tree needs the water, which is why the Lord described it this way here, that he planted the tree by the rivers of water. The tree needs the water, and God knows that, in order for the tree to grow tall and strong. Notice the tree is growing tall and strong next to the water. The lack of water, have you ever had this happen? The lack of water inhibits the growth of the tree or the bushes. You remember, some of you will remember this, I'm sure, 2012. I realize that's 12 years ago, but 2012, in the summertime of 2012, we went through a drought in Stoughton area. And, of course, a lot of the state of Wisconsin. But this lawn out here was brown, 100% brown. Do you remember it? and dormant. Yeah, that's what happened. Thank you for bringing that up. I was really concerned because that's a lot of grass. I don't want to lose all that grass. We're blessed to have all that grass, by the way, to have as an area for people to do things and play and all that kind of thing. Plus, it's beautiful. But the lack of water that year made a big difference in the grass and the bushes and the trees and the plants. I'm sure the farmers were well aware of this, because anything that's growing, when it doesn't have the water that it needs, it is going to go dormant. And I checked with some folks because I was concerned for the lawn. They said, don't worry about it. It's just gone dormant. As soon as we get some rain, it'll come back. Sure enough, it did. And I'm glad for that. But the lack of water, see, the lack of water, as long as the tree, this is important, as long as the tree remains, like in this verse, as long as it remains next to the river, its growth and its flourishing and its fruitfulness is going to continue. Now, what do you think that river of life is for you and I? Well, I want to suggest to you this morning, it is the Lord Himself, but also His Word. His Word. This is why it's so important for us as Christians to be in the Word of God on a daily basis. Every once in a while, I'll run across somebody who hasn't been in church for a while or hasn't been doing very well, you know, spiritually speaking. And normally, if you'll check with them, you'll find out that those people are also not reading their Bible on a regular basis. Boy, I wonder if there's any connection there. Oh, friend, there is. And please listen to this. It's true for everyone. It's not just true for the person in the pew. It's true for the person in the pulpit. All of us have to be in the Word of God as a Christian. That's our living water. That's where we get those nutrients and that living water that we need to go grow tall and strong for our Savior. When we neglect the Word of God, we are actually robbing ourselves of those spiritual nutrients that we so desperately need to keep growing as a Christian. Listen, nothing else will provide that. In our church here, we provide the Baptist bread, it's called. It's a little devotional booklet on the back shelf there. And people take those. They're free. And I encourage you to take those and even give them out if you want to. They're there free of charge for you to use and so forth if you want to, okay? But listen, as good as a devotional is, it's no substitute for the Bible. It's no substitute for the Bible. Christian books are good, but Christian books are no substitute for the Bible. You know, Christian films are good, but Christian films are no substitute for the Bible. The Bible is our river of life that we need to be planted next to. And nothing else can provide that those nutrients and that life-giving water that we need. There's no substitute for spending time in the Word of God. So notice the Bible is describing the godly person here in verse 3. And he shall be like a tree, all right? It's a fixed thing, planted by the rivers of water. It's a growing thing. Number 3, this tree is also a living tree. Notice the verse again. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Now I'm going to come back to the fruit, but I want you to notice his leaf also shall not wither. The leaves on this tree are not going to wither because they're planted by the rivers of water and they're drawing up that living water and the nutrients. So this tree just keeps on developing, keeps on growing, keeps on producing. There's really no dormant season for this tree that the Lord is describing. Now we know in the world in which we're living here, especially in Wisconsin, we have four seasons. And I don't know if you agree with me on this or not, but for me, fall is one of my favorite seasons, and it's too short. It's one of my favorite seasons, and it's too short. And the reason I say that, favorite and too short, is because I love it when the leaves turn beautiful orange and yellows and reds, and I love seeing that. I mean, for instance, if you drive during the fall, if you drive on Roby Road, there's some beautiful maple trees there of different colors. And I really enjoy, sometimes it will go that way on purpose, just so that we can see all the beautiful trees. And of course, because it's so beautiful, I enjoy that, but it's so short, you only get to enjoy it for a little season, right? And then, because it's fall, quote unquote, the leaves fall, right? And they're in your yard, and they're in the streets, and they're in the gutters, and all that kind of stuff. But it's my favorite, one of my favorite seasons, and then the leaves, they just fall off. Well, then what are you left with? Bare branches. Bare branches. I think it was yesterday, Sarah, we were riding together, and you mentioned something about the bare branches, and then said something like this: now we need snow. Now we need snow. Because when the snow is wet and kind of sticky, and it sticks to the branches, especially early in the morning, right? When the sun is coming up and that snow is stuck to the branches, or, God forbid, you had some ice overnight and the sun's coming up and it just glistens off those branches. I can take that, you know, as long as I don't have to drive in it too much, but I can take that, see? It's beautiful. Now, that's trees in Wisconsin, all right? But this tree that God is describing in verse 3, those leaves shall not wither. In other words, it just keeps on growing. It keeps on developing. It keeps on producing. There's really no dormant season. This tree does not ever wither up and die. This tree has life flowing through it 365 days of the year. The life that is there is always there. It never stops. That life flowing within this tree is always there, and it's never allowed to die because why? It's everlasting life. It's eternal life. It's not something you turn on and turn off. Listen, it's always on. Amen. It's always on. The Christian has been given everlasting life. This everlasting life was given to us again by our Heavenly Father, and the closer we get to Him and the more our roots dig down into Him and we spend time with Him, it just grows and gets better and better and continues to be there forever and ever and ever. There's no dormant season. You know, you and I are supposed to be Christians on Sunday, but also on Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, everywhere we go. You know, you and I are supposed to be Christians even when we're driving on the Beltline. Amen. Notice I'm smiling, because sometimes it's harder. Huh? Had somebody tell me one time that parts of the Beltline are 70 miles an hour. Did you ever drive the Beltline looking at the speed signs? The whole thing is 55.
Yes.
Now, people drive like it's 70. In fact, some people drive like it's 80.
Yeah.
And they cut you off. But we're supposed to live like Christians, even driving on the Beltline. By the way, we're supposed to live like Christians when Donald Trump wins the election, or if Kamala Harris would have won the election.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I'm glad she didn't, but I know I'm not supposed to say that, but there it is. We're supposed to live like Christians no matter what happens. Do you get that? We're supposed to live like Christians when things go well, when things don't go well. We're supposed to live like Christians when this young lady, Hannah, can be brought out of her coma, or even when she cannot. We're supposed to live like Christians all the time. See, there is no dormant season. There is no dormant season. The Spirit of God within us should help us to live like a Christian all the time. So this tree that the Lord is describing in verse 3, it's a fixed thing, it's a growing thing, it's a living thing. Now we're going to go back to the fruitful part of it. This tree is also a beautiful thing. Notice again verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This tree is a beautiful thing because it is prosperous. You notice the Bible says, it talks about the fruit, okay, and I'm going to get to that, but it's prosperous. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Some of these trees out here on our property, around the church and around the parsonage, they're big. They're big. You know when I really get concerned about it? When the weatherman tells me that winds are coming 40, 50, 60 miles an hour. I get concerned. Now I'm thankful that all that we've said so far about the roots, you know, going deep and all that, and being stable and secure, and I'm thankful for that part. Because if one of those big trees fell on the building, the church building, or on the parsonage, it would cause a lot of damage. You know that. They're big and they're beautiful. And of course, when when they're in the summertime, when the leaves are all full and the greenery is there, it's big and it's beautiful. It's viewed by those who are nearby. Here's another example, by the way, and I don't know how well you can see it today, and you don't have to turn around and look. But just up the road here a little bit on as it starts to crest the hill, and it's right near where Brian and Rebecca and their family live, there's a huge tree, and I don't know for sure, I don't know my trees all that well, but there's a huge tree that's very, very wide and very, very vast and very, very tall, and when it's full and its leaves are in there, you can't see their house, you can't see their property. But I tell you what, when you're driving down the street, either from the east or from the west, you can see that tree for a long distance because it's big and it's beautiful. And by the way, people not only see it and view it, but you know this about trees that are big and beautiful. They also enjoy it because of the shade that it offers. Its beauty makes it desirable to others. People are willing, I mentioned this earlier, people are willing to pay a great deal of money to have trees and bushes adorn their property. I don't know if you ever see things like this, but they're moving the Christmas tree to Rockefeller Plaza in New York. And they got it from a man's property in, is it Massachusetts? And he planted this tree 67 years ago or something like that. And the thing's huge. And of course, they move it by a semi and all that, but just think about all the years he watched that tree grow. Now, his wife is deceased, and he said that he planted it there because his wife likes trees, and they watched it grow together as their marriage progressed. And recently, she went home, you know, to eternity, wherever her eternal home is, and it's a big, beautiful tree. But people pay a lot of money for stuff like that, don't they? Because the big, beautiful, prosperous tree is a benefit to a lot of people, providing beauty and value to the owner and shade to the owner. But remember this too, shade and shelter for animals and birds. Now, how does that relate to you and I as Christians? Well, shouldn't you and I be a beautiful thing in this world as a Christian? Remember, we're like the tree. Beautiful in such a way that people can see how we behave, and hopefully they'd want some of that. People who are near us can enjoy us and our testimony and our actions and our love and our compassion, kind of like shade and shelter. I think all of us know this, don't we? Sometimes when family or friends have a deep prayer need, who do they go to? They go to us. They come talk with us. Would you please pray with me? How many Wednesday nights here have we had people come and say a testimony or a prayer request from somebody who's not even here at our church, not a part of our church in any way, but some friend of theirs have asked them to ask us to pray for them? Friend, that's a good thing. That's part of the beautiful thing about being a Christian, is that people know who we are and what we stand for, and that we have this connection with God in heaven. We are to be that source of blessing to people around us. Lord knows the world is not that way. In many ways, the world is not friendly at all. So this tree that we're talking about, and I am going to get to the fruit here, finally in my last point, aren't I? This tree is a fixed thing. Number two, it's a growing thing. Number three, it's a living thing. Number four, it's a beautiful thing. And then finally, I get to that point that I've been promising now for several minutes. It's also a fruitful thing. Notice the verse again. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Right in the middle of that verse, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Question. We're almost done. But a question for you. What kind of a fruit does a tree bring? Now, as you contemplate that, you're probably thinking this. Well, Pastor, tell me what kind of tree it is. Right? Because you won't expect an apple tree to bear oranges or a cherry tree to bring forth apples, right? An apple tree brings forth apples, and a peach tree brings forth peaches, and a cherry tree brings forth cherries. So what kind of a tree is it, Pastor? Did you notice this verse says, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season? I want to suggest to you this morning that there's lots of different types of fruit that a tree could bear. Lots of different types of fruit which a tree can bear. It may be true that you and I don't bring forth the same kind of fruit. We're not the same kind of tree. Oh, I realize we have some similarities because we know the Lord is our Savior and hopefully we're anchored in Him and all that kind of stuff. I understand that. But let me just suggest to you some fruits. How about the fruit of the Spirit? Is that something that we should bear? Yes. Bible says we should. How about the fruit of good works? Bible says we should bear that too. How about the fruit of souls? Bible says we should bear that. How about the fruit of praise? Bible says we should bear that. So here's a little bit of the list of different kinds of fruit that each one of us can bear. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of good works, the fruit of souls, the fruit of praise. See, God wants us to be fruitful. If you had an orchard, and on our farm where I grew up, we had an orchard, an apple orchard. If a tree, its leaves started to wither and it wasn't long before it wasn't producing any apples at all, you know what my dad would do? He'd cut it down. It would become firewood. Because, you know, like the Lord said about the fig tree that didn't bear any fruit, right? He said, "Why cumbereth it the ground? Why should it remain there if it's not going to bear any fruit?" A fruitless tree is not much value to anyone. This tree that the Lord is talking about is fruitful. By the way, that's us. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. So the Christian is supposed to bring forth fruit. Again, either the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of good works or the fruit of souls or the fruit of praise. Remember, a fruitless tree is not of much value. And I have this question right here in my notes. Are you bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit? All of us should be fruitful for our Savior. Notice the psalm again, would you? Blessed is the man that walketh not. In other words, he does not do this. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Remember the rivers of water? And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Man, I like that wording. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The Lord told us today in this psalm, concentrating on verse 3, that this godly person, this born-again Christian, this man or woman who knows the Lord, loves his word, he or she is going to be just like a tree. And I gave you some very simple thoughts this morning. A fixed thing, a growing thing, a living thing, a beautiful thing, and a fruitful thing. One question and I'm done. Does this message describe you? Let's stand together, shall we? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking. Does this message describe you? Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity that we've had to be together today. And my privilege to be able to preach and teach from your word. Oh God, help us to be like this tree that we described this morning, that you put in Psalm 1, these words. Help us to be like that tree. Help us to be fruitful. Help us to be a blessing to others. Help us to be fixed and stable and secure. Help us to be all these things that we talked about, Lord. May it be true of each and every one of us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.